WJMM.
This is the Stan Bible Broadcast. My name is Kevin Schultz, and I'd like to welcome you to your time with the Stand Strength Team, the greatest exhibition of power, strength, speed, and intensity where Christ is exalted, the Word of God honored, and the lost evangelized. In the studio today, the founder and director of the Stand Strength Team, Evangelist Dr. T.A. Nalyon, also known as Shrek.
Welcome back, one and all, to the Stand Bible Broadcast. Today we begin a message by the late Dr. T.A. Nalyon entitled, Heaven, a wonderful, uplifting, biblical account of what we as believers in the promises of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, can expect as we pass from this life and enter the gates of glory into heaven. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you with humble hearts, in awe of your indescribable beauty that surrounds us, that the world takes for granted, scoffs that this profound magnificence was created by you in 6 days. We praise you, Lord, for your wonderful continuing works, believing that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray that this day you will bless this message and use it to draw many to a saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
In John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." What a most wonderful promise that we see and we have here in the Word of God. This is the promise of Jesus Christ himself. He promises that not only will he come again one day and receive us unto himself, but he has promised us that he will go and prepare a beautiful, glorious place for us. And that place, my friend, is called heaven. For the next few weeks, we're going to talk about heaven, the glory of God, and the expectation of the saints. Revelation 21 and verse 11. What a wonderful promise this is. Jesus starts out by saying, "Let not your heart be troubled." As we examine this passage of Scripture, in this time and during this time, Jesus was in the latter hours and the latter moments of his life. He knew of the trial and the turmoil and the struggles that his disciples would face, as they would flee from him, as they would abandon him, as they would run from him. And he also knew of the great persecution and affliction that he would face, all the horrors of the cross and the degradation and humiliation prior to the cross. That is the seven false mockery trials that he would face and endure and go through, and all the rejection and all the spitting and all the vile treatment and all of the beatings and the crown of thorns and the punching and the shame of nakedness and the gross horrors of the cross. He knew what he was about to endure. He knew what he was about to go through. And he also knew that in the earthly ministry of his disciples, of his children, that they would face great persecution, that they would experience great trials of affliction. And I am sure that many times and oft times, the disciples would reflect upon this wonderful promise that Jesus gave in the latter hours of his life when he said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." It is impossible for God to lie. It is impossible for him not to tell the truth. Why? Because he is the holy, righteous, pure, spotless, blameless Son of God. The Bible tells us that he cannot lie, that it is impossible for God to lie in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. What a wonderful promise this is, the promise of heaven. We're going to talk about heaven, a resplendent place of beauty. We're going to talk about heaven, a place of rejoicing. We're going to talk about heaven, a place of recognition. And we're going to talk about heaven, a place of reunion. We will reunite one day with our loved ones and with our friends who have gone on before us. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Right now, my friend, you may be walking through the valley of despair. You may be experiencing the deep well of depression and oppression. Right now, you may be racked with pain on the bed of affliction. At this current and present time, you may be suffering from deep poverty or financial turmoil. Presently, you may be going through some tragedy in your life, and your heart is overwhelmed with sorrow. Your heart is broken, and your life is filled with confusion, anxiety, and trouble. Well, God gives us the wonderful promise, not only of that glorious future prospect of that place called heaven, but he tells us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. He tells us that he will abide with us forever. John 14 and verse 16. He tells us that he is our good shepherd. And in this life, we will not want for anything if we would but trust in him. Psalm 23 and verse 1. What I'm trying to say is that Jesus Christ, not only will he be with us in eternity, in that great and grand and glorious place called heaven, but in our pilgrimage here in this life, he will be with us and he will help us and he will comfort us and he will bless us and he will strengthen us and he will reveal himself to us, that we might know his power, that we might know his presence, that we might have communion and fellowship with him. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Heaven, my friend, is a great place. It is a glorious place. It is a majestic place. It is a beautiful place. It is an awesome place. The dignities and the sublimities and the wonders of heaven cannot be uttered by mortal tongue. I do not have the intellect, nor do I have the vocabulary to accurately describe for you this wonderful, glorious, awesome, beautiful, brilliant, and majestic place called heaven. But it is the expectation of the saints. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 2:9, "Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." In Romans 8:18, the word of God tells us, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9 that there remaineth a rest for the people of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18, the word of God tells us, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Yes, we can have great expectation because one day we will enter into that eternal rest, into that eternal state, into that eternal place called heaven. There are many questions about heaven that people ask. One such question is this: will we have a physical body in heaven? Will there be a physical material body in heaven. The Bible tells us that when Jesus Christ came forth out of the grave, it was a bodily resurrection. In the book of Luke, chapter 24, verse 39, Jesus himself said, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." Jesus Christ has a resurrected body, and he gives us the hope, and he gives us the promise that one day we also shall have a glorified, resurrected body. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 19, the Bible tells us whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, and who mind earthly things. But that's not our state. That's not our condition. That's not our hope. We need to go on to the next verse to see what God has in store for us. For our conversation, that is our manner of life, our hope, our expectation, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. The Bible tells us in first John chapter 3 and verse 2, "It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." You see, one day when the Lord Jesus Christ returns for his church, for his people, for his bride, at that point, at that time, we will receive our resurrected, glorified body of flesh and bone. It will be a perfect body. It will be a glorious body. It will be a flawless body. It will be a body that will never know sickness, illness, or pain. It will be a glorified, risen body. And here is the promise in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so also them that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall meet them, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." You see, God's word guarantees that one day we also will have a risen, glorified body, just like the Lord Jesus Christ. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed, that is, our mortal flesh, our mortal bodies. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory." We can thank God, and we can praise God, and we can give him glory that one day we shall have a risen, resurrected, glorified body, just like the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, another question concerning heaven is this: will we dine there? Will we have food there? Will we be eating in that wonderful, glorious place called heaven? Oh, I believe that we will. Remember when Jesus Christ appeared on the seashore before his disciples, and he made for them a wonderful, glorious breakfast of fish and honeycomb. And the Bible tells us that Jesus said unto them, "Come and dine." And none of the disciples durst ask him, "Who art thou?" knowing that it was the Lord. It was the Lord. Then the Bible tells us that Jesus broke bread and gave to them, and fish likewise. And they had a wonderful breakfast that day on that seashore. You see, in heaven, We will eat. We will enjoy food. The Word of God tells us in Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 through 9, that we will partake in the marriage supper of the Lamb. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she would be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. And the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I like this last part. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Yes, we will be dining in heaven. We will be eating in heaven. We find that the tree of life is in heaven. And oh, how wonderful and how glorious the fruit of heaven will be. We'll be able to eat the grapes of heaven. We'll be able to eat the oranges of heaven. We'll be able to eat the apples of heaven. We shall be able to dine in that wonderful and glorious place. The Bible tells us, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. In heaven, there will be no hungry heart. In heaven, there will be no hungry soul. In heaven, there will be no starvation. Yes, we will eat. Yes, we will dine in heaven as we enjoy our resurrected, glorified bodies. Well, another question that is presented is this. Will we recognize our friends and our loved ones in that place called heaven? Well, in Matthew chapter 17, when Peter, James, and John were caught up on the Mount of Transfiguration, they recognized Moses and they recognized Elijah. Remember when the rich man died and in hell he lift up his eyes being in torment? He recognized in that paradise side, he recognized Abraham, and he saw Lazarus lying and reclining in his bosom, Luke, the 16th chapter. We don't want to talk about that awful, horrible place called hell, because right now we're talking about heaven, the glory of God, and the expectation of the saints. One day, my friend, this old world, it'll be all over. And God will usher in the new heaven and the new earth. One day this economy will be gone. One day the political state of the world as we know it today will be gone. God is going to usher in the new heaven and the new earth. The Bible tells us, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. You see, my friend, the next thing on God's time calendar is the rapture of the church, when he will come and receive his people unto himself. After that, there will be a 7-year tribulation period. And after the 7-year tribulation period, the Lord will return. The battle of Armageddon will be fought, and the devil will be bound up for 1,000 years. And during that 1,000-year period will be the millennial reign of Christ. That is that time period that we will live and rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's called the millennial reign of Christ. After that, the devil will be loosed out of the bottomless pit, and he will cause the nations to rebel just one more time. And then there will be that battle of Gog and Magog. And finally and ultimately, the devil will be put down. He will be bound in chains and cast into the eternal lake of fire forevermore, never to bother the human race again. And there will he spend all of eternity. And after that, God will dissolve the elements with fervent heat, and he will usher in the new heaven and the new earth. John talks about it in the book of Revelation, verse 1 of chapter 21. He said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." So these are the chain of events that will be taking place in the future. But I want us to concentrate wholly and solely on this wonderful, beautiful, glorious, grand, majestic, awesome place called heaven. Heaven is called the holy city, Revelation 21 and verse 2. It is called the tabernacle of God, Revelation 21 and verse 3. It is called that great city, the holy Jerusalem, and the heavenly Jerusalem. Revelation 21:10 and Hebrews 12 and verse 22. Heaven is a literal, real, physical, tangible place. It is a place of resplendent beauty. If you were to walk around in heaven today, if you were to walk in that glorious, beautiful place, you would see the brilliancy of its light like a jasper, Revelation 21 and verse 10. This is light incomprehensible. This is light that would outshine the brightness of the sun. This is the light that will emanate from the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Bible tells us that there will be no need for the sun or the moon. There will be no need for a candle to be lit, because the glory of God and the Lord Jesus Christ will be the light thereof, Revelation 21 and verse 23. I cannot explain for you and to you this light. I cannot describe for you this light that will outshine the brightness of the sun, that will outshine all the multitudes of stars in the heaven. But heaven is a place of resplendent beauty. And in heaven, there will be the brilliancy of heaven's light that will come from the Lord Jesus Christ. In heaven, there will be the wall of that glorious city, that wall that stands 216 feet high. We can read about in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 17. "And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits according to the measure of a man," that is of an angel. That high wall, 216 feet high. Why does it have to be that high? Well, you see, the wall of heaven will be an eternal word picture for the saints of God, for those who trusted in the love, the grace, and the mercy of God. It will forever be a wonderful sight and word picture, reminding us of the protection of God, of the strength of God, of the mightiness of God, and of the glory of God. You see, protecting in love those that are in that eternal city. That wall, 216 feet high. And then in heaven, there will be that innumerable company of angels, Hebrews 12 and verse 22. In heaven, we'll see the seraphim and the cherubim, Isaiah 6 and Ezekiel chapter 1. In heaven, we'll see the creatures of God, Revelation chapter 4. in heaven will see a wonderful, glorious animal kingdom. In heaven, there will be so many wonderful created creatures from the Lord. What a glorious sight that will be. What glorious fun that will be. What a glorious time that will be. The city of heaven is made of pure gold. Revelation 21 and verse 18. And the foundations of the city are garnished with all manner of precious stone. Revelation 21, 19 and 20. The Bible tells us of those 12 foundations. The foundations of jasper, sapphire, chalcedony, emerald, sardonyx, sardius, chrysolite, beryl, topaz, jacinth, chrysophthis, and amethyst. The wonderful foundations of heaven. The Bible tells us of the 12 gates made of pearl, Revelation 21 and 21. Every gate in that wonderful city is made of pearl, and just one gate of the city of heaven is worth more than all of the wealth in the world.
I want to thank you for listening to the Half Hour of Power with the Stand Strength Team. You know, you may not have 100% assurance in your heart that if you were to leave this life today, that you would be with God in Christ Jesus in that wonderful, beautiful, glorious, majestic place called heaven. Perhaps you do not recall a time in your life when you asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, to be your own personal savior. You say, how do I do that? It's very simple. It's very easy. If you believe that Jesus died for your sins on the cross and rose from the grave, all you have to do now is ask him to come into your heart to be your own personal savior. I'm going to pray a prayer in a moment, and I'm going to invite everyone who's listening to the sound of my voice. If you don't have that 100% assurance of heaven, I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer with me. Now, I'll pray slowly, so you can follow along. And in this prayer, you're going to be asking Jesus to come into your heart and to be your Savior. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I believe that you died for my sin on the cross. Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my heart and to be my Savior. I believe in your death, burial, and resurrection. And I'm trusting you and you only to take me to heaven one day. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. God bless you, my friend, and we love you.
The Stand Strength Team offers a 24-hour helpline by email. If you have any questions, comments, prayer requests, or any struggle you might be facing at the present time, once again, you can contact us at our website. That's www.standstrengthteam.org. One of our staff members will respond within 72 hours. Ladies and gentlemen, we'd also like to give you this opportunity to become a monthly partner with the Stand Strength Team and help us reach the most needy mission field in America with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the public school system. If God tugs on your heart to join us with your support, please contact us at www.standstrengthteam.org. Please mention the call letters of this station. This is Kevin Schultz for Evangelist T.A. Nalyan and the Stand Strength Team saying God bless you and love in Christ.
All of Jesus' followers who were frightened when Jesus was arrested were now declaring to the crowds, he is risen, he is risen.
Bob Lapine on Focus on the Family Minute.
And they continued that proclamation until their own death. I remember Charles Colson, who was involved in the Watergate conspiracy in the Nixon administration. And he said, I know something about conspiracies. He said, most conspiracies don't hold